friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Muck Bill Yabarrow, and it's Friday. Let's head into the weekend on a high note. I'll be in for Sunny for another week. Let's get into the July 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off the show with one of the most exciting games of the Women's World Cup. South Africa and Argentina drew 2-2 to both earn a point in their Group G fixture. Banyana had been up 2-0 but couldn't hold on to the lead. Just as they had in their first match against Sweden, they let Argentina back in after taking the lead. This time, at least it was a draw, not a loss, like the 2-1 defeat against the Swedes. All teams in Group D played today, with England beating Denmark 1-0 and China defeating Haiti 1-0 as well, even though the Chinese played with only 10 players for a majority of the match. Samson O'Malley has a wrap-up of African sports for the week, and it starts off with an update on how the African teams have been doing in the group phase. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Mark Bill. We'll begin the wrap of Africa Sports Highlights with the latest from the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup being co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand. Romima Nunes scored the equalizer as Argentina rolled back from 2-2 to draw 2-2 with South Africa at the Women's World Cup on Friday, denying them a landmark first ever win at the tournament. South Africa appeared to be cruising to a first ever win in 5 matches at the World Cup, after goals by Linda Motlhalo and Thembi Katlana either side of halftime in Dunedin. However, Argentina pulled one back via a stunning Sofia Braun strike in the 74th minute and then drew level 5 minutes later when Nunes headed home. Appearing at their fourth World Cup, Argentina have still never won in 11 attempts, but this draw gives them hope going into their final match in Group G. Banyana coach Desiree Ellis was disappointed with her side for their inability to hold on to their lead to the end.
That little bit of extra effort, also taking our chances once again. They had very little chances. Those small little details. But we had the chances to win this game once again, and we just gave it away because we created many opportunities, not just in the second half, but in the first half as well. And again, decision-making. We speak about decision-making. We speak about when players are in better positions just to play it to that someone. And sometimes we did not do that. And then we get beautiful chances, and we don't put it away, and then it ends up like this. So we really have to go back and have a look and see what we can do better.
On Thursday, the Super Falcons of Nigeria shocked co-host Australia 3-2 in Brisbane to take a significant step towards qualifying for the knockout phase of the tournament. Uche Nakanu, Osinachi Ohale and substitute Asisat Oshoala all scored after the home team had gone ahead just before the break. Nigeria went top of Group B with 4 points ahead of Canada on goal difference, with Australia on 3 and Ireland out of contention without any points at the bottom of the standings. Randy Wardrum is the head coach of the Super Falcons.
I told them after the match, nobody believed in us except us. And when we had that belief together, we can accomplish great things. And they did that tonight. So very proud of them. Extremely proud of the effort. Well, a lot of it just came at the end. Just came on pure heart and desire to compete and fight, because they were throwing everything at us at the end. And the players just repelled everything. And I think it's just a credit to them to put that kind of effort in to get this result.
Scorers Asisat Oshoala and Uchenna Ohale shared their thoughts on the victory against the Matildas of Australia.
I'm a team player. I don't care the minutes I play. I'm just always ready to go out and give my 100% effort and also to help the team get the 3 points or whatever point we need. There was no point going 90 minutes if I can't give 100% effort. So if I have to play 20, 15, 10, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, it doesn't matter how many minutes I have to play. But whatever minutes I'm going to play, if I can give 100% effort, then I'm going to do it.
Like, I feel so great. I feel great. I feel happy. I'm happy for myself. I'm happy for my team, of how far and what we've achieved so far. But I'm happy I got the goal for my team. I'm happy I continued. I finished the game. So I'm good.
Staying with women's football, The 2023 CAF Women's Champions League, now in its third year in a row, will be played in Cote d'Ivoire between the 5th and 19th of November 2023. The CAF Women's Champions League 2023 promises to be a perfect platform for Cote d'Ivoire not only to showcase its state of readiness in infrastructure, but in mobilizing the country. The competition brings together the top clubs across Africa, part of CAF's commitment to grow women's football in Africa. And now to netball, where the Netball World Cup 2023 tournament got underway on Friday in South Africa at the Cape Town International Convention Center. South Africa's Sports Deputy Minister Nokawe Mafu said hosting the Netball World Cup for the first time on the African continent comes with a lot of advantage and emotional feelings.
The national government had made sure that because we understand the role that the sport plays in the country, that sport always plays the area of making sure that there's social cohesion, there's nation building in the country. We couldn't say no when netball came knocking and said, we wanna host this World Cup in the country. This is about women, this is about young people, this is about making sure that South Africa shines on the international stage.
In basketball, the biennial FIBA Women's Afro Baskets got underway on Friday in Kigali. Four games are scheduled on the opening day of the championship. In the first game, Nigeria defeated Congo DR 69 to 35 points. A total of 12 countries are participating and have been drawn into four groups of three teams each. In Group A, Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, and Rwanda make up the group, while Mozambique, Guinea, Cameroon are all in Group B. Group C include Mali, Senegal, and Uganda, while the DR Congo, Egypt, and Nigeria will all play in Group D. And now to Namibia, where mixed martial arts is gradually gaining prominence in the country. Carlos de Souza, holder of a third-degree black belt, who runs a mixed martial arts studio in Windhoek, Namibia, says his studio is aiming to create opportunities for coaches, officials, and administrators to share their knowledge and experience with a wider community. Carlos de Souza emphasized the significance of such events.
August, we got the African Games that are happening on the 14th, 17th in Luanda. That's our next achievement. Get the athletes out there. It is a bit of a wrong time for us because it's winter, so a lot of the athletes are falling down with flu and all that kind of story. But it is the athletes will pull through. They are warriors. They will pull through somehow, somewhere. They're definitely going to pull through. Then obviously after, we're looking at going to the Worlds in Dubai again. That will happen in November. That'll be the Worlds again. That'll be now the athletes that qualify out of African Games that's happening in November. In December, we want to host another AFL to show, again, like we did last year.
And out to rugby, where the Kenya Under-18 Girls National Rugby Sevens team is all set for the upcoming Commonwealth Youth Games, scheduled to be held in Trinidad and Tobago from August 4th to the 11th, 2023. This comes after head coach Sarah Agola unveiled the squad that will represent Kenya in Port of Spain for the tournament. The players selected to represent the Young Lionesses will lock horns with five other strong teams from across the Commonwealth. Some of the teams they will face include host Trinidad and Tobago, Canada, Wales, Australia and Fiji. Head coach Sarah Agola speaks on the expectations from the squad.
Out here to prove that the standard that they set, it is good, and also just to ensure that once we do it very well, NOC will be able to continue this. So I think this is just a start of what of the many ideas they really want.
The Rugby Sevens competition will take place from August 6th to the 8th, adopting a round-robin format. Janet Kepkosge is the team manager.
I believe this is the best team, and they're going to do their best. I've watched them playing. I've watched them during their trainings. They're doing well.
In motor racing, 9-year-old Namibia driver Cecile Korotz Jr. will be competing in the Cape Town National Cup Round 3 Go-Karting Competition, scheduled to take place next weekend in South Africa. The kart racing organized under the MSA umbrella is divided into specific age, weight and speed categories to suit young stars as they grow. This ensures a safe and exciting progression from 5 years onwards. This is the first step on the ladder for Formula One and a path followed by most racers. 9-year-old Cecile Korotz Jr. is the son of Motor Rally navigator Cecile Korotz.
Every time he wins a race, my heart wants to get out of my chest. It's a very proud moment. And go-karting is a nice relationship between a dad and a son. When we're on track on race day, then me and him is one. So yeah, but it's a very proud moment to see your son driving there and listen what you say he must doing, and so yeah, it's a very proud moment.
That was Samson O'Malley.
VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary on August 4th. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, +1202-258-3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a report we did that mattered to you. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa, or tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number, again, is +1202-258-3076. Tell us your name and where you live, and you might hear your comments on our shows. And thanks for 60 years of support.
Keeping it going with Women's World Cup, Faith Olucci is an African women's football analyst. She spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye about South Africa's Banyana Banyana and what they did to lose that lead against Argentina.
South Africa's performance against Argentina was a shambolic display. Yes, I used the word shambolic because they didn't live up to expectation. This was a match a lot of people expected South Africa to win. They weren't playing a top European side. Argentina is not a powerhouse when it comes to women's football. So they were playing against a side that it was a 50-50 game for them to have gotten a win. And they let go a 2-0 win. I want to say I'm very, very disappointed with South Africa because they would have done better. Going into that match, they knew it was a must win for them. Having, you know, narrowly lost the match against Sweden, they had the opportunity of beating Argentina, and they allowed that 2-0 win to slip from their hands. I don't think South Africa did well. They didn't cover themselves well in glory, and I must say that they have to take all the blame for allowing a 2-goal lead to turn to a draw.
Banyana Banyana of South Africa were leading 2-0 during the game, only for Argentina to score twice in 5 minutes. What do you think went wrong with the African champions?
South Africa lacked the mental strength to absorb pressure from opponents. This is the second time in this World Cup that they are scoring fans and they are allowing their opponent to come from behind to win the match. When you know that you're playing an opponent and you score first, of course your opponent will sit back. They will come putting pressure on you. And it's only a team that have the mental strength can absorb pressure. But we've seen in two matches that South Africa lack mental strength. They don't know how to absorb pressure. And that is why they threw away a 2-goal lead against Argentina. This is a match they needed to win. But in the space of 5 minutes, just like against the match against Sweden, in the space of 5 minutes, they allowed their opponents to score 2 goals. And that is what they did against Argentina. I don't think it tells well for a team that went to the World Cup as African champions. You don't concede goals in the space of 5 minutes. You should be able to absorb the pressure, and that is one thing that have lacked in this South African team. They lack mental strength to absorb pressure in match.
Banyana Banyana will play Italy in their last group game. What's your take on the game?
In football, there is nothing impossible. We've seen underdogs beat the so-called giants. The Italians are a very good side. I've watched them before. They're a very good side. And South Africa, going into that match, needs to win that match. It's not a must win for them. I mean, the match against Argentina should have been the easiest match they should have won in their group. But they allowed their 2-goal lead to slip. I think it's possible for them. The coaches have a lot of work to do. They need to build on the endurance of the team. They need to work on the team. The ability to endure to the end is what they need more, because if you're scoring, they know how to score. They always have opportunity to score. But it's their mental strength to endure to the end. And Italians are not going to lie low if South Africa gets to score first. You know, so I think the coaches have a lot of work to do. They need to look at that team again, build on their lapses, and ensure that they get that win against Italy. It's impossible for them to beat Italy, but they have to work on their lapses and ensure that they don't make the same mistake when they get to play Italy in their last group match.
That was Faith Olucci, a media officer for Nigeria's national under-17s women football team, speaking with reporter Mike Mbonye from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
We can't get enough football action. I know I can't. With South Africa's 2-2 draw against Argentina, Nigeria remains the only African nation to win a match at this year's FIFA Women's World Cup. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has reaction from head coach Randy Wildrum following Nigeria's upset win against Australia on Thursday. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Mokbill. On Thursday, Nigeria clinched a stunning 3-2 victory against co-host Australia in a crucial Group B match. Aussie fans packed Brisbane Stadium hoping to see their home team seal a spot in the knockout stage, but instead watched Nigeria claim one of the finest wins in their ninth World Cup appearance. Afterward, Nigerian head coach Randy Wildrum said, "The victory came down to team spirit and a collective belief in themselves."
I think they're still singing and dancing right now. I can't get in there and get a word in edgewise. Obviously an amazing feeling, and I'm so proud of these players because so many people didn't believe. So many didn't believe in me, didn't believe in the team. And the one thing that we have done is we've talked about believing in each other, and the strength of our success is going to be in the unity of the team. And to think that we've come in here and gotten two results out of two top teams in the world says a lot to not only our ability, but to just the heart and the competitive desire that the team has. So it was great. I told them after the match, you know, that keep believing, right? Keep believing in yourself, because great things happen for teams when you really fight, you know, for each other. It's not always sometimes the best talent that wins. You know, sometimes it's the best team, the team that works best together. And we're enjoying the journey. We know there's still work to do. So we'll enjoy it tonight and get our recovery going tomorrow, because it was a very, very taxing game on us physically.
The 11-time African champions are now tied with Canada at the top of Group B and must find a way to keep the momentum going into their final group stage match on Monday when they face eliminated Ireland. Australia entered this year's tournament as one of the chief threats for the title, but their home turf advantage turned into thin ice on Thursday, and the World Cup co-hosts now find themselves in third place and on the brink of elimination. Following the defeat, Australian head coach Tony Gustafsson found it hard to explain what went wrong.
Ooh, how do you summarize when you're emotional like this after a game? But I got the question out there straight after the game, how disappointed I were by the performance. And I said, I'm actually not that disappointed about the performance, but I'm disappointed about the result. The way the players handled the player unavailability going into this game, a lot of questions were, how are you going to attack, how are you going to score goals? And we showed tonight, if you look at our attacking game, that we can still play the way we want to play. We created enough chances to score even more goals. If you look at some of the stats, we have double the amount of final third entries than our average. We had double the amount of box entries than our average. We had 28 shots. We scored 2 goals. So the attacking game was actually much improved compared to the Ireland game, which I'm happy about. the defensive one. The second ball game cost us 3 goals. I think the second ball was amazing against Ireland. We knew it was going to be a second ball there. We talked about a second ball game against Nigeria, especially in the center of the park. And unfortunately, the second ball game cost us 3 goals tonight. We knew that Nigeria had some very, very good attacking threats, and it was costly for us tonight, unfortunately.
Australia will next face Canada for their final group stage match on Monday. A must-win clash for Australia to stay in the competition. And that is all from me, Mukbil. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Dribbling over to the basketball court, the 19th edition of the Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp kicked off in South Africa today. Young players from 25 African countries are here to learn from some of the sports superstars. Tuso Kamalo reports from Johannesburg. Sporty greetings, Tuso.
Sporty greetings to you, Mobile. 8 young players from around the African continent hit the gym at the American International School of Johannesburg, the site of the first Basketball Without Borders Africa camp back in 2023. At the opening ceremony, Victor Williams, the Africa Chief Executive Officer of the National Basketball Association, said the camp has given lifetime opportunities to African youths who want to be great in the sport. He told VOA News that there are now efforts to take the sport to schools.
The goal would be to get the kids learning the game as part of their school curriculum, their PE or physical education curriculum. It's about training the teachers so that they can conduct the games, they can train the kids, they can administer the games.
A photo opportunity gave the youngsters a chance to rub shoulders with stars such as Bam Adebayo, a two-time NBA All-Star, and Taj McWilliams Franklin, a six-time women NBA All-Star and two-time champion. Cheryl Soups, another woman's NBA six-time All-Star and a four-time champion, was excited about having an opportunity to inspire young stars from Africa. And the most thrilling time for the youngsters was stepping onto the court for coaching from renowned coaches such as Mike Brown, a two-time coach of the year and the current Nigerian national team head coach. Amadou Galofol, Basketball Africa League president, said he is happy that their dream when they started the camp in 2003 has been fulfilled.
For us, we wanted to make sure that we can come and develop a local expertise and spur the development of infrastructure, because the talent that we have here doesn't exist anywhere else.
The camp continues until Monday with coaching sessions, training, games and basketball community development events among the activities lined up. Reporting for VOA News in Johannesburg, I am Tuso Kumalo.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Swinging the ball over to netball. The 16th edition of the Netball World Cup is up and running in Cape Town, South Africa. It is a landmark moment for Africa, with the continent hosting the global showpiece for the first time. This year marks the 60th anniversary of the sport's premier competition, which began in 1963. Myron Nacker in Durban reports. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings to you, Mukbil. Table Mountain presents a picturesque background to the 2023 Netball World Cup at the Cape Town International Convention Centre. The 10-day-long tournament will see 16 teams battle it out for the sport's holy grail. There are two group phases before the semi-final stage. South African Proteas team, which is ranked fifth in the world, is among four African countries competing. The others are Malawi, Uganda and Zimbabwe. The African teams hope to make a big impact at the first World Cup staged on the continent. South African coach Norma Plummer says it's a big moment for the host nation.
Oh, look, it's fantastic to have it in your home country. I know I've been part of that from an Australian point of view, and there's nothing better because you have the crowd behind you. And certainly I know South Africans will be behind the Proteas. I have every confidence that everything will be in place for the South African team to be able to stand up and really take on the rest of the world at this World Cup.
Five-time winners and defending champions New Zealand are among the favourites to clinch the title. New Zealand coach Nolene Taurua says South Africa hosting the competition will help to grow the sport on the continent.
You know, it's a momentous occasion for this part of the world in regards to hosting. So I think that's a great tick for South Africa. And also I think, you know, like always, when you get the opportunity to play a Netball World Cup in any country, just the excitement that comes when all countries are together. So, you know, there's going to be pressure, there's going to be flavour, there's going to be excitement. And once again, that's what Netball World Cup's about.
The Proteas came close to a podium finish back in 2019, but lost to Australia in the semi-finals. This time, on home soil, they hope to land the team's first medal in a democratic country. Veteran Carla Pretorius says they will no doubt be inspired by their fans.
We get a lot of confidence out of the fact that we do play in front of our home crowd, and that's going to be the crowd, and our spectators are going to be behind us, and that's going to be almost that extra person to push us over the line. But we are well aware that there's a lot of pressure on us, but we are very excited about this challenge.
Zimbabwe's team, which debuted at the tournament in 2019, hopes to use the competition to accelerate their development. The Zimbabwe Gems boast a young and exciting group of players. Their captain, Felicitas Kwangwa, who plays in the Super League in Britain, thinks her younger teammates can compete at this level.
So if they can just be themselves, play the netball that they were taught or play according to the coach's plan, I think we're going to do well. So they should not worry about anything, because I believe every team has new players who are actually appearing at the World Cup for the first time. So it's something that they should not worry about at all.
The tournament runs through August 6th. This is Myron Nyker for VOA Africa in Durban.
And that's a wrap for the July 28th edition of the show. Have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington for Sunny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.